Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the podcast that gives you an excuse to dip out of family drama, provides you fewer calories than your favorite holiday meal, and maybe provides you a few talking points to share around the Christmas tree, around the menorah, around the table, whatever works for you. We will be sharing all things womanhood and motherhood, and we are not experts. I am Caroline.
And I'm Hannah.
And we are thrilled to have you here today.
Yeah, and today has been a day, don't you think?
Gosh, I think that we have shared many texts throughout the day about what a day it has been.
Yeah, and you know, it's not just us. I have been on Instagram more than usual today. It's weird. People are talking about just having hard days on and off. My sister-in-law has been texting me. It's a weird vibe going around.
Are you like a Mercury in retrograde person, a full moon person? Is that like going on right now?
I might be if I did enough research.
If I knew that I would be right about it, then yes.
Right. If I knew what I was talking about, yes, I probably would, because like this kind of thing happens in seasons, you know, like I'd love to talk in the future sometime about like full moons. Because everyone talks about that. Teachers, nurses, parents.
Yes,
people who deal with large groups of people always talk about full moons and
non-experts
behavior.
Yeah. Throw it out all the time.
People like us, the people you turn to for hard-hitting news.
The place you go for your table topics, right here.
Yeah, so we're doing this with a glass or two of wine tonight.
Yeah, and we are feeling great.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one. We can already tell.
Yep. So maybe it's not the full moon after all.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got Christmas coming up. What's going on? What's the haps?
Oh, man. You know, I figured out a new way to shop this year, but I can't decide if it's going to completely backfire on me or not. Mm-hmm. So Nora Beth turns 4 on December 18th. So just in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Christmas, baby.
Yeah. Then we have Christmas, obviously. Then we have Anna Blair turning 2 on January 5th. So we're kind of like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we decided this year, instead of doing one big shop, that each week for like the last 7 weeks, I would spend a little bit of money here and there to get gifts.
Uh-huh.
However, I have no idea what I've purchased because it's been so little at a time. And like in my mind, I think we're in great shape, but I don't know if we're in great shape for Christmas. I don't know if we're in great shape for birthdays.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're in great shape to breed a lot of entitlement. I don't know where we are. I'm flying blind.
Exactly. It's so easy to do that around the holidays, just to pick up for anyone in your life, you know, as you're around every store, it seems like, and Amazon is sending you emails all the time of, this is a good stocking stuffer, and this is a good gift. And you're like, that is a good gift. I will never see this again, and I have to buy it right now.
Yeah, and in my head, I feel like our stockings could hold 10 gallons. So I'm like,
I do the same thing.
And I think you're the same way. I like a good buy.
Yep.
So I will $10 and $20 us to death. I would not spend a lot of money on one big thing. So
for sure,
I feel like I'm controlling my budget by doing just a little bit at a time. I have no idea where we are actually in the entire budget. I don't know. I don't know where we are.
Yeah,
so
I definitely nickel and dime us, I'm sure. Like with stocking, I'm like, oh, it's only $5. It's only $10. And then I have like 20 items.
And I'm like, oh, wait, we need 14 stockings to hold these things.
Yeah, exactly. I think last year or the year before, I had an entire, like I was so excited about our stocking stuffers and I had so much stuff. It just didn't fit in. And it's just like little stuff and they loved it. But I'm like, okay, you get more presents.
That's great. Well, the first year that David and I were engaged, which happened to be the first year we celebrated Christmas together, I was stoked about stockings. And I had been talking about it all year long, that these stockings were going to be so great. And I spent all this time picking out stockings, and he was equally jazzed about the stocking situation. So Christmas morning, I opened my stocking from him, and it was like contact solution.
Oh, my goodness. And like,
I mean, deodorant. I mean, it was like very much like toiletries, which his family gave as stocking stuffers. And he was like, nah, I nailed the stocking stuffers.
Oh,
and I was
my
like,
gosh.
Oh, neat. Common toiletries.
I also just purchased each of these items at the Target one spot.
Exactly. So these are my Amazon subscribe and save.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I don't have that feature. But
you don't have Amazon to have subscribe and save.
But he has definitely overcompensated in the next years to like jam my stockings with stuff that I would never buy for myself.
That's awesome. He figured out that contact solution wasn't what you were asking Santa for,
I assume? Yeah, it's super weird. Or maybe he felt like Santa had it covered, so he could
Santa
really be free.
Santa is too generous, but what she really needs is contact solution.
Yeah, let's just be honest about it, St. Nicholas. So that is what is going on with me. How about you?
Let's see. I feel like we're trying to go a little more low-key with Christmas. We just feel we have such a big community of family and friends around, and I really want to keep Christmas more about the nature of the spirit of Christmas and not about just receiving tons of toys and stuff like that that they really play with for like a few minutes. We decided to go a little more low key this year and get like 1 to 2 bigger items.
Oh, nice.
And then I love stockings. I'm like you. I really love stockings. So that's really exciting for me. My best friend and I are actually doing a stocking stuffer shopping date very soon.
So fun.
So I think that'll be fun. We're going out during the daytime.
What? I'm sorry. That's blasphemy. I didn't hear you.
When she suggested that, I was like, oh, okay. I guess we'll leave at like 7. And she's like, what? No, I meant lunchtime.
Oh my gosh. That seems
incredible.
Can we go
out at lunch? I forgot that that was a thing.
What is lunch?
Yeah, exactly. But do you make any effort to include other holidays, or like, do you like to read books, like say Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, stuff like that?
You know what? No, we haven't, but it is something that I have been aware of because like, I mean, sad to say, growing up, Kwanzaa was kind of this like joking holiday. You know, it was like, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas. Oh, and Merry Kwanzaa. You know, it was kind of this joke. But I realize as an adult, I don't want to raise my kids to not appreciate and respect other holidays, because for people that celebrate those, they are super special and significant.
Right. And I think for me as well, I don't remember if it was about that or not, but some people have said along the way about different things like, oh, well, that's a made up thing. That's a made up thing. That's a made up holiday.
Mm-hmm.
All holidays are made up.
Good point.
They're all constructs.
Yes.
God didn't make holidays.
He made Christmas happen. I mean, yes, he did. But right. Like somebody chose arbitrary date, this arbitrary thing.
It's definitely a thing of like, well, ours is more legit, so it counts more. But yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
At 2 and 4 and, you know, baby who doesn't know every day is the same for her, I have focused more for us on thinking about and teaching what makes Christmas so special, because I feel like they're just now at the age that they're even really understanding what that is. So rather than throw bunches of things at them right now, I'm focusing on the manger and Bethlehem and that sort of thing. But I do want us to have lots of conversations, especially as they enter school, about lots of people who celebrate different holidays.
Yeah. Different holidays, different traditions and stuff like that. I only shop for Christmas items on December 26th exclusively.
Oh, yeah.
But I did get one of those sweet things you plug into your yard that puts lights on the front of the house, or like a slideshow of lights.
Oh my gosh, so you're going to be our favorite neighbor.
Buckle up.
I already can't wait, and that's what I'll sit on my couch and stare out at on the nights that we're not recording.
I'll be providing nightlights for the entire neighborhood.
Everyone. That's great.
I got
it
for a sweet sale last year after Christmas. I refuse to purchase things before Christmas.
That's amazing. Well, you and David can go for a daytime Christmas decoration shopping outing, because that is his favorite thing. When we got married, he had tubs and tubs and tubs of Christmas decorations. Like,
really?
They were his favorite thing. So we have not purchased any new decorations since we got married almost 7 years ago. And instead, we've just slowly purged what he originally brought to our house. So we need to maybe stock up on
this
year's
26. Yeah, this year you need to share the love and just spread your lights around, and we'll be the commune that everyone wants to cycle down and look at our lights.
There are applications to get into this commune. We take it seriously.
Perhaps we could set up someone to pay a couple of bucks at the front.
Our gate will be open between 6:30 and 8 only.
Please turn your music down. Some of the kids will be sleeping and you don't want to deal with that.
Well, do you have any traditions that you are loving sharing with your kids at this point?
We have started a tradition of exchanging books on Christmas Eve.
Oh, I love that. Christmas specific books?
No, not Christmas specific. Just any books. And Passan and I exchange a book with each other, and then we give a book to the kids. Last year, he got me some really great books. He got me a book called Everything You Need to Know About Indians, But We're Afraid to Ask. Super interesting.
Awesome. Okay.
About indigenous people in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I love that book. I learned a whole lot. I think it was last year or the year before he got me another one called The Underground Railroad.
Okay.
Am I remembering the title? Colton Whitehouse. Colton White. I'll put it in the show notes. It's like an imagining of if the Underground Railroad was literally an underground railroad.
Oh,
so it's
interesting.
Historical fiction. I couldn't put it down. I devoured it. Very, very good. So yeah, he's gotten me some really good books, and I got him, I think last year I got him Hamilton.
Okay.
The one that Lin-Manuel read before mm-hmm. he made the play.
Okay, amazing.
And he loved that one. And I'm not sure what I'm going to get him this year. I haven't decided yet.
Can I ask for a clarification point here?
Yes.
Do you purchase each other real books, or do you send each other Kindle files?
That's a good question. He likes real books.
Yes.
So I get him real books.
I see you, Pisan.
You are seen. One year he got me Kindle books because I asked for Kindle books, but he was like, okay, they'll be on your Kindle at midnight because you set them to download. So after that, he's just started getting me real books because
okay.
We typically, my standards with Kindle are fiction, and it's usually fiction that I will like dig into, but it's mainly just for me. There's a lot of good quality books out there that we want to read and we want to have accessible mm-hmm. either to share with people who come by because we love sharing books
yep.
or for the kids to just want to pick up and start reading one day. So he'll get me, we really put a lot of thought into it. So if it's a book that he's getting me for Christmas, we usually will go with the legit copy of it.
That's great. I love that tradition. That's fabulous.
Yeah. So that's probably our main thing. But yeah, a couple more weeks before Christmas. And I'm sure we will have a lot more to talk about with Christmas music and Christmas movies.
Oh, my gosh. My
we
jam.
We love Christmas. Yes.
We do.
I am, as I said recently, I've had it on. I've had the music on.
Well,
I've been leaning into it.
I feel like a walking Hallmark Channel person. Mascot, I feel like I am the Hallmark Movie Channel, so
nice.
At Christmas. So get ready. Buckle
yeah.
up for that
Buckle
one.
Buckle up. Today we are going to shift gears a little bit and talk about mental load.
Ooh, I think that's a great topic that hopefully everybody listening can relate to. I think especially as we head into the holidays, women will feel the strain of that mental load or hopefully be able to relate to what it's like to carry a lot of different things on your mind, especially every day plus holidays.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll dive right in. All right, we are back, and today we're talking about mental load,
ugh.
Which is a phrase that I've only learned relatively recently in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But once I figured it out, it felt like it gave me a way to really put a name to just a lot of how I feel all the time. But before we dive into that, I just want to point out, we are not out here to complain about men or mm-hmm. to be a man-hating podcast. I'm the first person to say that I identify as a feminist, but I think sometimes feminists get a rap of man-hating or
yeah.
seeing men as less than, and that's just not true at all. So that being said, a lot of the stuff that we talk about here, specifically about women feeling heard, and if there's something, if you're one of the three men that...
David Pisan, neighbor.
Codename Brockton.
Yeah, I think that's right. We see you.
He gave us a code name. Anyway, if there's something that we say that doesn't sit well with you, we would love to talk about it. But we would also ask first that you just sit with it and think about, you know, a lot of these things do not apply to every single person, but what we talk about is statistically true overall.
Yes. Great point.
So if this doesn't apply to you, maybe there's a conversation you could have with some of the other men in your life about this or with women in your life. Anyway, what can we all do to change the status quo?
I think that's a great point. Great point. Thanks, Hannah.
But yeah, so what is mental load?
Ugh.
Any
Man,
input?
Well, I feel like mental load, I think we all... everybody, but I'm thankful for your disclaimer because I'm going to specifically address women, but
yes,
I like
yeah.
your disclaimer. So women, I'm talking to you. I think that it, for me, gave a name to this just overwhelming pressure that I was feeling on my brain to
yes.
the burden of remembering, the burden.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah, the burden of keeping up with and managing all while doing.
Yes, that's exactly what I had as well. It means having to always remember. And it's not just I have this conversation with Pasan a lot. This isn't saying that men don't have tons of things on their minds. It's not saying that this is the same for all men and all women. But it's just typically it falls on women to remember every little thing, you know, meal schedules, yes, appointments, home repairs, tasks. The last time your children ate a good meal, the last time they went to the bathroom.
Did they brush their teeth today?
Right. And even with other things, who walked the dog? Who fed the animals? When are they going to the vet? What is their next appointment? This applies in a lot of different ways. And frequently what follows is assigning those things to someone. Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked about this as well, that typically we will put more things on ourselves than other people.
Yes.
You typically will either, assign it to yourself or your partner. But if you are assigning it to your partner, you're giving that person a secondary seat in the chain of leadership. So now you're not just the project manager and planner. You're also actively doing the work if you're the one carrying out the task, or you're the boss if you're the one who's assigning it to someone else to remember.
Yep.
And we've both talked about this comic, which we're going to link in the show notes, and we're going to talk about too.
We'll share on our Facebook page as well, just so you all can see it.
Yeah, it just kind of illustrates this really. And I don't know if you felt this way, Caroline, but when I was reading it, it almost triggered me.
Yeah, I felt
me.
That way. It wasn't like it was a relief in some way, but in the other way, it was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It made me like more tired because it was watching myself.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And it's just, sometimes I feel like it almost might seem anti-feminist to be complaining about, or like to be complaining about being in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not it at all. The problem is there's very much like a shirking of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Quick brief history of the United States for people who love this kind of information. Back in World War II days, I want to say, women very much joined the workforce because men were deployed.
Mm-hmm.
Men came home from World War II and women were expected to kind of step back into these roles of being in the home. And of course, as we've seen throughout history, you know, with several iterations of the feminist movement, that was not accepted. Women were not okay with just sitting home and accepting what the men told them to do. And here we are now, very much in the workforce, still fighting for a lot of things, equal pay.
Yeah, hello.
And then equal pay along race lines as well. But still, we are still largely in charge of all those things. Mm-hmm. We're still the ones that are planning all the appointments, and we're still the ones that are in charge of the home.
Right.
Largely.
Yeah.
Do you find that to be?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think for those of us who work too, we are taking on multiple roles. And, you know, for me, I struggle with talking about it. I mean, I think that it's very true.
Yes.
And I think there's a lot of refreshment in being able to share that. But one of my biggest pet peeves in the world today is this feeling of mommy martyrdom.
Okay.
And I think social media has really exacerbated this, that it feels funny and cool to complain about your kids or being a stay-at-home mom or being a working mom and just putting complaints out there. So I always worry that talking about the very real weight of mental load and adrenal fatigue and a lot of these different things that I think are very normal comes off as complaining.
Okay, yeah,
and
true.
So I struggle with finding the line of complaining about, oh, everything that I have to do versus saying, this is a real issue that we should have open dialogue about.
Yeah, yeah, I completely agree. I think the problem is that people like to be directed. People, the less we have to think about for ourselves, the more comfortable we are, I feel like. And this is manifested in smaller ways by a lot of times, you know, someone will ask you, well, what do you want for dinner? And it's like, oh my gosh, I've made so many decisions today.
Don't ask me. Right.
You pick dinner. But the problem is when moms do all the directing, it continues this pattern of women being in charge of the home and the men being told what to do. And again, this is in a typical hetero household.
Yes.
When men are not the ones taking initiative and not looking at a situation and saying, okay, what needs to be done to get to X? Whether that's, I need to get us in the car and go, I need to get dinner on the table, or the animals need to be fed, or what have you. That's teaching two major lessons to kids in my experience, kids of both genders, this is important to everyone. The first is that same, you know, women are in charge and the men are waiting to be told what to do. And it's a very yes, dear dynamic. Mm-hmm. And it does another, it's another step in removing the autonomy of men to be partners and to be fully themselves. Like, it's very much taking away their equal partnership in a relationship.
Yeah, I read a really interesting post, and I think it was on Scary Mommy. I will try to find it, about women asking husbands or their partners for help. Mm-hmm. And it's specified using that word help of will you help me do this, or will you do me a favor? Even though that's a really passive thing to ask, it is subtly putting women in this place of authority and giving men permission to wait or to feel like they are submissive to the woman or the wife.
Exactly.
And I know that that is a continual issue, is too strong of a word, but tension that we face if it's getting ready for church or getting out the door for preschool, of I want David to anticipate the things that we do every single day. But because I carry that weight more often, I know to make sure the diaper bag is packed, make sure shoes are already on, have sippy cups ready, whatever the thing is.
Make sure someone went to the bathroom who's potty trained.
Yes, absolutely that. Or bows are in hair, or teeth are brushed.
Yeah.
It's just kind of become second nature to think through that punch list. But because we have kind of set a dynamic that I'm the one that will say, hey, can you help me out and make sure that Norbeth's gone to the bathroom?
Yeah.
That's been putting him in that position where he's used to me mandating it.
Yes.
And that's really cut his legs out from under him. It's equal responsibility on us.
Yes.
But I still feel like I have the double weight to bear because of it.
Exactly. And it's you taking it away from him tomorrow, the next morning, saying, oh, yes, I just remembered from yesterday. Because, you know, we learn from our mistakes all the time. Mm-hmm. I frequently learn, okay, I took both of them to Target thinking I could do this at this time of day and they were hungry. Now I know that was a mistake.
Right.
If we're not letting our partners make those same mistakes, they're not also going to learn, and it's only going to lead to frustration because it's more on our shoulders.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that that's a really good point and something that I struggle with. When he does do it, before I ask, I am very quick to make I put this in quotes, friendly suggestion of a way to do it differently, which then means that I'm saying, here's the way to do it better.
Yeah, exactly. My way.
And so I want to have it both ways. I want him to do it with full autonomy.
Right.
However, I also want my presence to be very felt. Yeah, right. My directed autonomy for you. So it's a trap, you know, I don't want it, but I can't let it go either.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I was going to talk about that as well. Because, you know, part of it is you have to give that autonomy and then you have to release some of the control. And I am a type Enneagram type 2 helper and a control freak. So it's very hard for me to release control. So you have to understand that if you're going to have like an equal partnership, everyone has to be seen as equal. Your way might be better to you, but if everything is still running well, if you have the same end goal and if you agree on those end goals, and you know, boys need to see that their dads are just as much competent and in charge and in control as their moms. And girls need to see men that are able to look at a situation and decide what needs to be done and remembered in the same way that women can. And they absolutely can do that. There's nothing.
That's a great point.
Keeping dads from taking initiative and getting work done, except us doing it for them, I feel
for
like.
For them, yeah.
The second thing I was going to say is this was in response to a situation that came up with us recently. It tends to make one parent, when you treat this way of like, well, the mom is the one in charge, the mom is the one getting the mornings going, for instance, in my experience recently.
Yep, same.
It tends to make one parent, usually the mom, like the tough one who can't have fun. And I just want to prerequisite, this is a situation that happened, which Pisan and I talked about. I said how I felt, and he said, okay, and that was it. There was no, like, this was just one situation that came up and we dealt with it and we've both changed our behavior since then.
Mm-hmm.
But the other day we were running late. You leave the house at a certain time. We weren't running late. We leave the house at a certain time. I had sent the kids with him so I could get ready, and I came out at exactly the right time. And he was letting them play in the driveway, which they had been begging to do all morning. So by the time I came out, they should have, like, on my schedule, they should have been in the car buckled up, but then they were already playing. And so, of course,
right,
I have to be the one saying, okay, you have to stop playing now. You have to stop mm-hmm. having fun. You have to get in the car. And kids do not hurry when you tell them to hurry. They do the opposite. So you have to be hustling people, and you just don't, you know, it looks like, oh, well, we were having fun with dad, and now we, like, mom's making us get in the car and go. And then, you know, when you're late, no one is going to be. And I totally feel like when dad pulls up late, it's a little more understandable than, yes, like, if mom pulls up late. And I just will not ever be okay with being late. And it just puts everyone in a bad mood. And we talked about that, and I went over this, and we both said, okay, moving forward, we need to change this. But that's a very real thing. Like, it makes one parent the fun one and one the responsible one. And it's usually mom is responsible. Mom is the one with the rules. Dad is the one who we can go and have fun with. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I have a few, yeah, that just brings up so many thoughts for me. And, you know, one of those is, I think that it puts the strain on the person who is responsible in that situation. We run into that as well. And I know that in conversations with other mom friends, that is not a unique situation. That,
right,
you know, I also don't want the girls to necessarily see tension between David and myself. But it then puts even more load on me to be breezy and okay with this.
Yeah, exactly.
And not being in a situation where I'm blaming David for that situation. You know, it's not necessarily his fault. It's just we did things differently.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely not placing fault. It's more like, in my mind, when I walked out of this room, you were going to have the kids in the car. That was not what was going on in your mind. And I definitely sat with that for a little while before we talked about it.
Yeah,
because I didn't want to call and jump all over. And I also try and have really healthy, we try and have really healthy discussions and arguments in front of them, so they know that you can disagree with people that you're in a relationship with, and it's not uncomfortable. You know what I mean? You can apologize, and you can say, you know what, these are my feelings. Mm-hmm. And so we did call and talk about it, and it was totally casual. But again, that was something that both of us needed to look at from a different perspective, because that was just something like, that's something that comes up and you're like, what? Something about this isn't right, but we need to address the situation, because this behavior is not innate. You know, girls are not born loving to do stuff around the house and to follow everyone around, making sure everyone is dressed and clean.
Yeah, I always tell David that I feel like the cruise director in our house.
Yes.
And I don't think I was born that way. I mean, I'm sure there are facets of my personality that led to that.
Uh-huh.
But I regularly say, please do not make me the cruise director.
Yes.
But I also step into that role. I want it, but I don't want it.
Right, exactly. I mean, it does start with when we're little, and there have been efforts to change this now, but, you know, little girls are given pink and purple dolls, tea sets, house cleaning toys. Mm-hmm. And when a little girl pushes around a vacuum or feeds her little baby, it's like
so cute.
It's you're the mm-hmm. cutest. And then a little boy does that. And we're not pushing that on boys. We're not pushing, oh, well, why don't you have a tea party? Why don't you feed this little baby? Why don't you pretend to vacuum? I mean, we put an actual vacuum in their hands.
We give them the dustbuster and go to town.
And this follows children that, you know, the data proves that, and how we encourage their play from a young age is very important in how kids turn out to have their gender roles in a household.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. And, you know, I think for in our house, our dynamics naturally, which make us a really good couple, also lead to this increased issue of mental load. So David is much more laid back naturally than I am. So he is very happy to not follow as strict of a schedule.
Okay.
I feel like we thrive on a routine and a schedule.
So, I live by a routine.
Yeah. So when the mornings that I'm working out of the house, like Monday mornings, he does not work, so he can stay with the girls while I go into the office. But instead of letting him own that process, I still feel like I'm managing, hey, remember it's 8:15. Hey, you have 10 minutes to go. And it always feels like the last 5 minutes, he's like, oh, no, we need to go. And it's the very thing that makes our household function really well, is that he mellows me when I'm feeling too rigid, if we don't have any plans. And I feel like, oh, we need to make plans and do a bunch of things.
Yeah.
We'll be like, no, we can just hang out at home. But it works against itself when I'm like, hey, we have a lot of things we have to do.
Yeah.
And especially raising three girls, I do wrestle with that. You know, my mom was very much the dominant presence in our life and ran the house that way, where my dad at the time was a very kind of benevolent force in the background. And I think that I've kind of copied that. But also I've seen now as an adult what issues that brought about in our lives.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm working against recreating that.
Right. So that's a good question, is what do you actively try and do to work against that kind of thing?
Well, do you know that Friends episode where Monica leaves Richard the 15 voice notes? I'm Breezy.
First of all, yes, I know every Friends episode ever.
Well, it's the Breezy episode.
Yes.
That is what I feel like through clenched teeth. I'm forever like, I'm Breezy.
I'm just Breezy.
I'm Breezy. I work very hard. I mean, I swallow my tongue a lot of times, mm-hmm. and I very breezily will try to be like, what did you have in mind to do today? And inevitably, the question is nothing. You know, I hadn't really thought about it. And I'm like, cool. Yeah, me neither. That
sounds great. Me neither.
Great. Let's
just
play
20 things.
Right. Here are some options that I haven't even thought about it. Here are just some things. I'm Breezy.
Weird. Here's what I need done or else we break apart as a family.
Right. So, I mean, really the active step that I'm trying to do is to work against my own nature.
Yeah.
Which isn't always easy, but I
for
do
sure.
try, especially the days now that he is doing childcare while I'm at work, I try to be less leading about what did you guys do today in a way that asks the question as in, I hope you did many things.
Right. Like you're expecting a certain answer.
Mm-hmm, because I think that for a long time it's been, what did you guys do today? Fill me in on all the educational things that you did.
Yes. And how little TV did you watch today?
Right. Yeah. Where in the reality is if they spent all day watching TV and snuggling in a chair, if that's what he needed to feel connected to them was cuddling, great.
Yeah.
If they feel like he was present and there for them in a way that if I'm cooking dinner and doing lots of things that isn't in their presence all the time, but I feel like it's more valuable, it doesn't mean that it is. So
yeah.
I'm having to retrain myself in that.
That's
and I'm
a very good
it.
Point. That's a good point. I came into that same thing just today, actually, because on Fridays, I work and Pasan is with the kids. And I was like dropping a few suggestions and he got pretty offended
mm-hmm.
and said, you know, like, basically, like, I know it's kind of like basically he was a little like hurt, probably hurt, but more annoyed that I was trying to like push my agenda on him for the day and saying things like, you know, you guys could go to the gym or you guys could do this. And he's like, I know. And to be fair, I would be so annoyed if he said that to me. So I was like, all right, cool. I won't. I get
whatever.
It.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's I'm pretty controlling. So that's something mm-hmm. that it's a bit of a hard pill to swallow that I have to step back.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to do that.
Yeah. And we've had conversations of, what is the best way to suggest these things? Like I suggested to David that he take each of the girls out solo
uh-huh.
once a week. So one girl one week, the next girl the next week.
Yeah.
And he was super into the idea and then nothing happened.
Uh-huh.
And so I brought it up again. He was super into it. Nothing happened. And we went out on a date one night and I said, hey, so here's the thing. Like we've talked about this. Is that something that you're actually interested in? Like, help me understand why you're super excited in the moment.
Right.
And then it just doesn't happen. And for him, it was interesting to hear that he felt like he was intimidated by not knowing what I had already planned, that he felt like he couldn't insert a change in plan.
Interesting.
If he said, oh, I'm going to take Norbeth here, or Anna Blair and I are going to go do this, he was already anticipating me being like, why didn't you know that we have this already in place?
I relate to that. That's got to be, what is the one, he and I have something in common.
Is it the nine?
Yes. Yeah,
six,
yeah, yeah.
Or the nine?
The nine. That's like a nine wing, I think.
Yeah.
That he and I have in common. Because there are certain things, not with the kids, but there are certain things as well that I'm like, well, I don't want to bring it up because I'm like, what if he says something and mm-hmm. makes me feel silly about it?
That's how he is. When he brings things up, I can see that he gets like self-conscious about it.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, it's okay.
Right. For sure. We are the exact same in that way. So I totally relate to David in that way because it's not ever anything like Pasan would ever on purpose do. But I, in my own mind, I'm like, well, and I'll say this, I'm like, well, now I feel ridiculous. And he's like, what? Like, right. Why? Like, but yeah, it's kind of like an ego blow or something.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think he feels like he put himself out there.
Yes. Yeah.
And then and then for him, it was a rejection.
Yeah.
Even though for me, it was just like, no, let's retool this. But it was a really healthy conversation because for me and my mental load, it was something that I couldn't let go of that I wanted him to do with the girls.
Yes.
And I wanted to let go of it, but I was resenting him. And he was really just saying, well, you're creating an atmosphere where I feel like I can't do that. And it was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Let me evaluate myself in this, because what I think is healthy and helpful to our family is actually cutting his legs out from under him a little bit.
For sure. Yeah. For me, I think the verbiage is really something that I'm trying to keep an eye on. For instance, that like you were talking about, like I need, for example, I think I caught myself the other day saying, I need you to set the table. But
yes.
Like, I don't need you to set. That's not something you're doing for me. Like, you are doing that so we can eat dinner. And ideally, mm-hmm. in my mind, you would say, okay, what needs to be done now? The table needs to be set, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. So I think I'm trying to find a way to say what needs to be done and then, but not like, you aren't doing this for me. And even like with the kids, you know, I'm trying to, Milan is old enough now to be able to do stuff. Like, he can do a little bit of help with the laundry. He helps with the dishes and stuff when I let him and I have 10 hours of extra patience and just a lot of stuff. And I try not to say thank you because
interesting.
I actively do not thank them for doing like just regular stuff. Like, you're not doing me a favor. You're just doing a good job at being a human being.
Oh, that's interesting, because I think I overthink to try to do positive reinforcement. But I think that that's really helpful to set it as, this is your baseline.
Right. And that's what I slip up in this. But one of my pet peeves is seeing husbands just getting like ravishing praise for doing the bare minimum.
Ugh, I hate that.
I mean, like, yeah, it's fantastic that they cook dinner and did the dishes when you were pregnant. But yeah, they should do that. Like, that you
right.
are pregnant. That's why. Or in general, like, did they lavish praise on you for doing the same thing mm-hmm. every single day? Or just in that, like, thanks is a very tricky thing for me, because I am thankful that it's done, because otherwise I would have done it. But also,
right.
like, I am not constantly being thanked for doing mm-hmm. the dishes, because no one knows everything I do all day long. So
well, that brings me into a great question. What? This is an impossible question to answer, but I tried to be aware of it today. What, like, in a given 2-hour time
yeah.
frame have you done today?
Oh, today feels like nothing.
But we know that's not true.
Right.
So what
yeah.
have you remembered to do? What have you actually done? What has gotten accomplished besides keeping the children alive?
Today, what got accomplished is it feels like I washed one set of sheets. That's all it feels like. And
mm-hmm.
yet I barely sat down all day.
Right.
What about you? Tell me,
yeah,
walk me through
yeah,
that.
I mean, I think, so the timing of this recording is, I thought about this last night. So here's kind of the landscape of what our last 24 hours had looked like. I had to be, David was at work at 6 a.m. this morning. I had to be out the door at 6:30, but
okay.
we don't have regular childcare on Thursday mornings. So I'd arranged for my mom to come over at 6:30 to do breakfast with the girls and be with them until I got home from my work event. But because it is not normal to have someone at our house at 6:30 and have the girls wake up to someone different in the house, although they adore my mom, and she is not normally here at that time, I spent the night before going overboard to make sure breakfasts were ready, plates were fixed,
yeah.
Outfits were laid out, my work stuff was done. I had gas in the car, so I didn't have to stop on my way.
Yeah.
Lots of little things to make it as smooth as possible for them and for my mom, and
uh-huh.
so that I could be at work without that much issue. Pumping stuff was taken care of. You know, all those little things. Then on the way to work, I had to think about, okay, David just started a new job, so that means health insurance kicks in 2 weeks. So what are the appointments that we had to reschedule when he made a new job?
Uh-huh.
The girls need dentist appointments. I need to make those. You know, it's just,
yes.
it snowballs. And last night when I was trying to get just breakfast plates set up, I ended up clearing the laundry off the couch, making
uh-huh.
sure that I'd run the dishwasher. I mean, it was just this endless loop trying to do one thing that should have taken 10 seconds turned
yeah.
into a 3-hour project.
Just one item. And that's in that comic we'll link to as well, just about how you try and accomplish one thing. And then at the end of the day, you've done like a ton of things and the thing you started doing like was kind of pointless. Like by 6:40, those plates were empty a.m. You know, the plates were empty. The food was everywhere. And
did that really help anybody? Like, was my mom incompetent of putting yogurt in a muffin and some fruit? Yeah. Like, did that really save anybody any time? No, but it was a pride point to me that I could tell her when she arrived.
Yeah, that's very true.
All of these things are done. Like, look how competent I am.
Yeah, look how great I did.
And I read a really great, Are You Struggling With Mental Load? In 8 Ways to Tell. And one of them is you issue battle plans in your absence. So,
oh, wow.
It's like, okay, I'm not going to be here. I have very competent, capable people here, whether it's my husband, our nanny, a babysitter, whoever. But yet still, I am the one saying, here is exactly how everything needs to be.
Yep. That's very, what's the word? Not something that I could sit with for a while.
Yeah. Well, and the follow up is, even when you delegate, you still keep tabs. So I could say, David, will you pack the diaper bag or Norma's backpack or whatever? And then I'm still asking as we're out the door, did you get X, Y, and Z?
Right.
Like, man, how belittling to him.
For sure. And I mean, another thing that we were both reading about in that same comic was just this question of like, well, did you ask me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, well, did you, like, this happens to us, like, did you feed the dog? Did you feed the cat? And it's like, did you ask me? And it's like, no, but you know that they're alive.
Right. It has to happen every day.
Right. And so I'm like, half of me struggles with, yes, people need to be given more responsibility. The other half of me is like, but will we survive if I just let it go? You know what I mean? Like, will anyone eat? Will things happen? Like, if I just tomorrow say nothing and do nothing, will, like, I just do my work, will we fall behind? And then the other problem is, like, moms are the one that picks up the slack.
Yes.
So then the next day, there's double the laundry and dishes. Maybe not. Maybe, you know what I mean?
But usually.
Like, but usually, yes, so far, so.
Well, and, you know, that's the point in this article that I read, like, really stabbed me in the heart. And it was, you take a perverse pleasure in stepping in. So if your husband fails to perform one of his delegated tasks, you take a grim pleasure in carrying it out yourself while sighing heavily and pointing out that he only had one job to do.
Oh, that's hilarious. And, that could be quoting me.
Gosh. And I very passively pointed out where I do, if he went upstairs to rest, I will make sure that I drop some toys or bang a cabinet too hard or sigh
breathe
too loud
super
to
loud,
show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like dump the magnetiles back in the bucket.
One at a time.
One at a time. To just prove the point of, these are out, but don't worry.
Yeah.
I'm taking care of it. And I think that it is.
I am sacrificing yet again for you people.
Yeah, you're welcome, family.
Yeah.
But I do think that it is just, in some ways, this thirst for acknowledgement. Because like you said, you can't even say, here are the things that you did. We know you did them.
Yeah.
But you do yearn to be acknowledged for those small things. Like,
That's
does anyone
a good point.
Know that I emptied the dishwasher twice today?
Yeah,
no.
Which is so annoying and takes up so much time. And
yeah, and I do it 14
so
times a day. And something like that, you're never acknowledged for it being done, but certainly everyone notices when it doesn't get done.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it is like, oh, cool. Thanks, everyone.
I know. And one thing that we have realized in the last couple of weeks is the difference between which one of us is working.
Oh.
So on the days that I'm working, Passan was like, I don't understand. Like, you can't just put this dish in the dishwasher when you're finished with it. And I'm like, what?
Wow. I just got triggered. Sorry, Passan.
I'm like, are you kidding me? Like,
right.
And I told him, I'm like, you don't remember me saying this to you yesterday?
Immediately when you went to work.
Yeah. And I'm like, I really feel like it is very different. It depends on whoever is the caretaker of the kids. Because that person always is the one taking care of more stuff at home. And it's almost like instinctively when I'm not working with the kids, as in I'm working on my own projects, I'm writing, I tend to pull more of that. Like, I'll just set this coffee cup in the sink and he tends to notice it more. So I also get a bit of a perverse like, oh, is that annoying?
Oh, that's weird. Yeah. Well, but I think that it's also its own special form of hell when you both work the same hours, because even though there should be a give and take,
like
Monday, Tuesday,
true.
Wednesday, when I'm out the door, if David is not already at work, should be, in my mind, understood that he would be the primary
yes.
on these things.
Yeah.
However, it doesn't tend to happen that way.
Right.
It is still, whether it's his issue, my issue of not being able to let go.
Yeah.
I still am the one carrying it. Yet, when I'm walking out the door stressed or frazzled, I feel like he is put out with me for being stressed and frazzled and short with him.
Right.
Where I'm getting in the car being like, what did I just do? Like, I don't want to be that way, but can you just acknowledge I'm allowed to be, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I totally see that. And it just brings me back around to something we talked about when we talked about communes. Just
the glorious utopia of a commune.
Exactly. Just briefly about the way people used to be, just in that people originally had like very specific roles. People used to have a village. It mm-hmm. used to be everyone working together, and it's not now. And so we struggle with these things of finding roles and everyone trying to find a way to find their best selves in a world that does not accommodate that. And especially for women, we are trying to have it all in a world that never questions when men have it all.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think that there are regularly things that tell you, here is why women can't have it all.
Right. And why we should be okay with it.
Yeah. Like, just know if you're going to have it all, a career, projects that you're passionate about, a family, a marriage, you will not be giving your all to something.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, in theory, I get that. But also, how defeating
it
to
is
be like, well, I guess
defeating.
I'll just be fine giving
choose.
Everything 25%.
Yeah, yeah. So this is something I've talked about before because this resonated with me. Last Mother's Day, Melinda Gates, who I follow on Instagram, shared a post, I believe it was Mother's Day, with her daughter, a picture of her daughter, and she just commented that her daughter now, who is in college, is starting to understand why, she said to her recently that she's starting to understand why her mom made some of the decisions, some of the choices that she made when her kids were younger.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning when she was younger, I'm assuming she probably wasn't able to be present 100% of the time. Probably had more help, was able to have more help with the kids. But as kids get older, they start to understand those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the best we can hope for is that we are all living our truths and living the best, our best version of ourselves. And ultimately, our kids will understand that. And, you know, now I see the kids, especially Maya, copying me and talking about going off to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a little bit of pride out of that because that's what I want. Like, I want them to find something that they love to do, which I've found now with writing and with different mm-hmm. projects is just like having that stuff. And I truly do feel like we can have it all. And I resent the idea that women have to choose.
Yep.
And so I think hopefully in the end, it all evens out, you know. Hopefully mm-hmm. we keep communication lines open with them and we cross our fingers and hope for the best.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And I do want to point out, just like you made the disclaimer at the front end, that this is not man bashing, that our husbands are incredibly supportive of what
Definitely,
we do, what
yeah.
we achieve, of keeping our family running. And for those single moms and single dads who don't have a partner, please know that we are not being glib about the partners that we do have. I bow down to any single working mom who is managing these things even without help. So even
For
when
sure,
I
yeah.
even when I get frustrated, I do know that my mental load is not as oppressive as it could be because
yes.
I do have an equal partner.
Certainly not. We definitely are not in the comparison game, I would have to say.
No.
Everyone's struggles are very different, but there
and
is
all
a
valid.
Special, yeah, and all valid. There is a special seat of honor for those of you out there doing this on your own. That is not something that I feel equipped to do. So we respect you very much.
Yep.
But I did want to ask you just real quick, do you have any thoughts on this topic and being a woman in the workplace? You've had more experience. You've had more years and experience in the workplace than me. My office experience was very gender stereotyped.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just love to get your input on this. Just kind of being in a place where you're being held to certain standards and answerable to men.
Yeah, I mean it's difficult. I can speak about one. Thankfully, in most of my I would say half of my jobs I have reported to women who are also mothers, which has been a real blessing.
Yeah.
But in two different cases, but particularly one, I've reported to men, and in this particular case, to a man who is not a parent. And I have felt there is a lot of burden on being unable to meet every off-hour demand. This person regularly calls during what any mom knows is the witching hour at between 5 and 6. And seems equally annoyed whether I don't answer or whether I answer with screaming kids in the background.
Right.
And I do feel a certain drain on myself when I have to pull the, I can't be at this meeting, a child is sick, or we have a preschool activity, because there is not a relation there. And I know when I was working and didn't have kids, I would have probably rolled my eyes at that as well. But it is... I do find myself feeling really tense when I feel like I'm even questioning being present for something with my child because of what that can mean or reflect on me as a working professional. And so I do feel that there is, that is a real struggle for women to feel like, okay, well, I miss this number of things for these reasons. That means I can't miss this regardless of what the situation is.
Yes.
And that is really hard if I get a call from a babysitter like I did one time that said, you know, your daughter is throwing up. And I thought, well, I can't miss, like, good luck. I can't miss this thing. And of course, then I feel horrible either way.
Right.
You know,
there's no winnings. There's not always a winning situation.
No, there isn't. But I think, you know, you do what you can to be as present as you can in any given situation and then to educate as well. So to say, you know, you there have been times that I've gotten pretty terse of you don't know what this is like. So until you are in this and you can see what a great job that I am doing managing what I am managing, then we can only take this conversation so far.
Good for
and
you.
It, well,
that's awesome.
Goes very against my nature.
Sure.
And it made me want to throw up. But it at least calmed some of the comments for a little bit.
Well, that's good. That's awesome that you stood up for yourself. I think that's a big part of it is we need to stand up for ourselves more. Women don't do that enough. And we need to stand up for each other more.
Yes. Amen to that. Hopefully you guys will have some great comments and feedback for us about mental load and how you are finding some relief for it. I think that in some ways it's a necessary evil and one that we can carry with a badge of honor that we're doing it together and in community, and to give each other some tips and tricks that help ease the burden from time to time.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you if you relate to this at all. If you have, if you found some way of having conversations that we haven't quite settled on, or if you found ways to avoid these pitfalls of talking about, I need a favor from you.
Ooh, or, help me do this, please.
Right, help me clean the house in some way. Or here's how you can help me today. Lay it on us.
We are all ears. We have just enough mental space to hear from you.
Yes, exactly. So we'll take a quick break and then be back with what sounded like a good idea.
All right. Well, it's time for hopefully everyone's favorite segment. It is our namesake. It sounded like a good idea at the time. And you know what sounded like a good idea at the time? For me was to end the stigma of mite infestation your skin. This week I was diagnosed with scabies.
I just want to quick preempt this by saying I've been waiting for this story and I had to wait to hear it now here on this recording. So
yeah, you know, when I mentioned to my mom that I'd let one of my managers know that I was missing the day due to scabies, she said, "Did you actually tell them scabies?" And I said, well, of course, we refuse to let scabies be taboo. And now I'm sharing it with all of our listeners. Yes, this week I was diagnosed with scabies.
Your mom is not going to be happy about this.
No, sorry, Susan, but you can shop her products at Susie B. So I woke up on Friday of last week with very itchy elbows, which felt really weird. There were some bumps underneath, you know, whatever. I kind of thought it was fine. And over the next few days, it increased in intensity. It looked horrible. So I sent a picture to a nurse friend of mine, which, by the way, she has an Instagram account called The Nurse Next Door, which is amazing because she answers every question that you would text to a nurse friend if you had one.
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah. So, you know, like there's so many times you're like, oh, I wish I knew a doctor who could answer this for me. So you can follow her at the.nurse.next.store.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I will be following her.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. But I texted her a picture and I said, what is going on with just my elbows itching? And she texted back, I think that is scabies. So I did a quick Google search, immediately wanted to empty my insides because it is disgusting. It is disgusting. So I went to my primary care physician, the CVS Minute Clinic, the next day.
Your primary care physician?
The Minute Clinic. I switched between the Minute Clinic and WebMD to diagnose me. And they told me it was, in fact, scabies, which you can pick up from skin-to-skin contact with anyone else who's been infected, which most of my skin-to-skin contact these days is with my children. They don't seem to have it, thankfully, right now. I think I picked it up at the gym.
Oh.
I think one of the bikes I rest my elbows on.
Oh, what?
Yeah. It is legitimately disgusting, but easily treatable. You just put on a nice thick cream on every inch of your body below your chin for 14 hours.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's great. So, you know what? Be scabies strong. If you have it, tell people it's fine. It's fine. The mites don't live off of a host's body for very long. And the itching shouldn't last more than a couple weeks after you've been treated. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And, you know, just with pride, tell people that you have scabies and don't touch them with the exposed parts of your body.
Also, with pride, wipe down your gym equipment, please.
Yes, please. With pride and extra care. Thank you very much.
That's nuts. I can't say that I've ever had an experience with scabies, knock on wood, yet.
Well, my sister made sure that I knew that it is a common factor in people with poor hygiene, which I told her that Google assured me that it does not, in fact, mean that I have bad hygiene. So don't worry, listeners.
What a sister thing to say. What a sibling thing to remind you of.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you have a face for radio. You have the hygiene for a podcast. Enjoy.
So what sounded like a good idea at the time for me, we had a bit of a serious situation recently here in our neighborhood. A friend of ours had their house broken into.
Oh, it was awful.
Thankfully, no one was home. And we were all also looking out, as we talked about in our commune episode. Again, I will reference. And we agreed our kids, our older kids are all around 4-ish. Mm-hmm. So we all agreed there was a significant police presence and just this tension. We were all telling the story and we talked about telling the older kids what was going on. Mm-hmm. Kids are getting old enough to have conversations now. Coincidentally, they are also getting old enough to ask endless questions now.
So many questions.
And you just sent me an interesting article about this, which we can post too, about kids and their curiosity peaking around this time.
Yeah, they ask about 73 questions a day.
And that feels like it's on the low end.
Yeah, I was going to say that is not for our kids who ask about 73,000 questions a day.
And I explained to Milan when I picked him up from school, I said, you know what? This has happened at our friend's house and the police are there. He has a show that he likes on Netflix called Naughty, which is about a Toyland detective.
And it's a great show.
It is a cute little show. So I was able to phrase it in a way that I thought he could easily understand, where the police were there. And a detective was there looking for clues, and they were going to figure out who did this and blah, blah, blah. And that was a solid well over 24 hours ago. And for nonstop this amount of time, endless questions on the logistics of how this happened. Why did they break in? What is stealing? I had to explain stealing.
Oh, gosh.
And why it is morally wrong.
And you don't shy away from those conversations. I kept mine much broader, but love that you tackle them.
I don't shy away from it. And then I kick myself and I just hope this will all work out in the end and all my gray hair and insanity will be worth it because I said, you know, stealing stuff, you don't have the right. I read, and I've referenced this book before, this book called Bringing Up Bebe, about how French parents tend to parent their kids, mm-hmm. and they use the phrase a lot of times, you don't have the right to okay. do something. So I use that quite frequently. So I use that in this scenario, and I said, you do not have the right to go into someone's house. And I use an example of him and his friends. And I said, if you were trying to take their toys and they had not told you you could, you do not have the right to go in and take mm-hmm. it. That's what these people did. So then he was pretty concerned that his friend had lost her toys. And he was wondering no. which of her toys got stolen.
Oh, gosh. So full inventory.
And I didn't know at that time at all what was stolen. So that,
oh, my gosh.
I had to follow up, and he was waiting on that answer for a while. He was wondering how they got in, so I had to figure that out.
Uh-huh.
And then when I told him, he was like, I originally thought this was not correct. I originally thought a window was broken. He was asking, how would they break a window? And I'm like, I don't know, a hammer. And then I'm on the phone with someone, and he walks in, and he said, how would they use a hammer to open a window? And I'm on the phone, and I'm like, they would hit it. I don't, like, try
so. How would you use a yeah. hammer?
And I try so hard not to get frustrated with this questioning. It is just endless. And finally, late last night, it was a very anxiety-filled situation because we all felt very strongly for our friends.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I just had to say, you know what? Can you explain to me what you think happened?
Because, oh, brilliant.
And I think that really, he started retelling it to my brother who was there. And
so he was helping to answer his own
questions.
Yes, so
he was really telling the narrative from his perspective, and which I think that's a legit technique.
Yeah.
At the time, it was really a self-preservation. Because I just so bad. I mean, I really want to encourage their curiosity. Their curiosity is supposed to be there, but it yeah. is exhausting.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it sounded like a good idea at the time to be super honest with him. This is not the last time that will come back to bite me in the backside. But luckily that situation could have gone a lot worse, and it did not. And the questions will continue. They will live on.
Well, it should surprise no one why we decided to tackle mental load tonight, from skin infestation to robbery questions for preschoolers.
Yes.
We have more than enough on our brains, and we're sure that you do too. So we really appreciate that you decided to give a slice of that to us and for listening in. If you haven't already, subscribe to our podcast. Tell a friend who's equally tired and burnout as you are. We'd hate to ask you anything else, but if you could take a minute to rate and review, we would really appreciate it.
Yeah, and find us over on Instagram. We are at A Good Idea Pod, and let us know what you think. We love input. We love conversations. If you disagree, if you think we're off base about something, let's touch base and talk about it. I think there's too much of a stigma around not wanting to mention when you disagree with someone, but disagreeing doesn't have to be disrespectful. It can be a polite conversation where we all learn things. So
yeah, Milan can host us through that. He can mediate that conversation.
For sure. He'd be the best.
Great.
The best call.
Perfect. Well, we will see you here next week as we get closer and closer to Christmas.